This is the podcast for Woodland Presbyterian Church in Memphis, Tennessee. We are maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. We hope you enjoy the message. And if you'd like to learn more about our church, look us up at woodlandpres.org. Thanks so much. May the Lord bless you.
My dad has a saying, growing older ain't for wimps, but it sure beats the alternative. Right on both accounts. This week, we're talking about the most legitimate of all the fears we've covered because it's a very real thing. It's not something we fear as a possibility. We fear it as a certain reality. It's not a lack of faith that causes us to fear getting older or losing abilities we once had and eventually reaching the end of our time on this earth. The modern era doesn't eradicate that problem. We live much longer now, but that elongates the losses. It doesn't reduce them or eliminate them. Psalm 71 is written from the perspective of someone who found safety and comfort in God's presence as a child and a young man, and now in his old age. It acknowledges, I'm not as strong as I used to be. I need more protection because I'm more vulnerable. I can feel the sand slipping through the hourglass, and I still have a lot more I'd like to get done. I appreciate how the Bible deals honestly with things that we find uncomfortable, but it is super uncomfortable, especially when you're hearing it from one of the younger people in the room, right? Can't help that, but if God's grace allows me to live long enough, time will change it on its own. And that's why this psalm is valuable for everyone. We're all on the same path, just at different points. Psalm 71 reminds us that in every season of life, God is faithful. He's strong when we're weak, whether we're more vulnerable when we're very young or when we're not young anymore. This gives us an example of what faith looks like at any and every stage. And the subject is far from hopeless or graceless. Because God's faithfulness outlasts our strength, our testimonies outlast our days. The psalmist tells us that God has always been his refuge and strength from before he was even born. It was God who brought him into being, even from his mother's womb. The God whose grace initiates our story reigns over the whole thing, no matter how short or how long it is. But the psalm doesn't describe a sweet story of a joyful lifetime in the presence of God. It describes how the psalmist responds when things are bad and his life is in danger. He's reasonably scared due to his circumstances, but he sees that danger in the context of God's faithfulness throughout his whole life. He has proven God's faithfulness over and over again by making this God his hiding place throughout his whole story. Psalm 71:5 says, "For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth." I've heard before from some that there's no real reason to become a Christian or to live according to Christian values until you're older, because God will always forgive you, and that's definitely true. He will. But that thinking neglects some very real consequences. Living apart from God for decades, beyond the realization that you need him, gives you fewer opportunities to experience God's grace in your younger years. There's no shame in that if you encountered him later in life, but that delay often brings unnecessary hurt and doubt if you've had the chance to experience God's grace earlier and you refused it. If you don't have years of God's proven faithfulness through the difficulties that come early, it leaves you with fewer memories to lean on in later years. Yes, you can absolutely still be saved later, and God loves you just as much then, but it's not that you let him down by waiting to go all in. It's that you rob your future self of the treasure trove of missed moments that pass you by while waiting to be faithful to the God who is already faithful to you. Plus, God's way is just better. Why put off good stuff? The psalmist faces threats and danger in his old age, but he has a healthy deposit box full of memories of God's faithfulness that he has seen from his youth. in this later season of life, he can now make withdrawals on that to bolster his faith under the weight of new threats. Are you keeping up with the good things God has done for you? When Edwin did baby dedications at the church he pastored in Birmingham, he would give the parents a very large and very heavy glass jar with 18 rocks. Was it 18 rocks, one for a year? I thought it was one for a year for each of the child's life. And on the front, he put a label that said, "So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom," from Psalm 90, 12. We have our own jar, but it's not 18 rocks. It's just as many rocks as we could get, essentially. And he writes moments of God's faithfulness on those rocks, specifically to our children, the moments of joy and faithfulness that we have as a family. Using a Sharpie, they're not very legible, but we figure it out. And every once in a while, he'll read these to the kids while we're at the dinner table. Reminders of God's past faithfulness to them and to us that strengthen our faith in God's future faithfulness. Now, I'm not as into object lessons as Edwin is. He's very good at it. So I don't have a jar of rocks. I think it's great that he likes them. Awesome. It's just not my jam. But I do have memories that serve as stepping stones in my faith journey, moments where God revealed his goodness and nearness that I go back to over and over again when I come to the next question mark. The God who has been a safe place never stops being a safe place. But there are times when it's harder to see how he's going to show up. In those times, remember the stepping stones that got you to this point, just as our psalmist does. Maybe write them somewhere, on rocks or, you know, a journal, so you don't forget them when you need them most. God's grace never changes, but the grace that makes you strong in some seasons makes you reliant in others. And both are grace. In verses 7 through 16, the psalmist remembers how he used to be the one people relied on. But then there's a turn from the psalmist's legacy as a protector to his need for a protector. Both are grace. Psalm 71:9, "Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent." Fun Hannah trivia, I'm a fast walker. I walk fast everywhere all the time. I've heard that people who walk fast are usually less happy overall than those who just stroll through life. I think that's because we're stuck behind you and you won't get out of our way. That's just how I like to move through the world. I got stuff to do and places to go. But there's going to come a day when I can't walk fast anymore. I'll probably think I'm moving at just as good of a clip until somebody passes me. I won't be as fast as I am now. It's tiny, but it's a tiny part of who I am. And one day it probably won't be true anymore. In a world that values productivity and efficiency above all else, losing our ability to move as quickly, to do as much, to produce the same amount we used to, it can really make you doubt what you have to offer. And the Christian church can sometimes do a good job of baptizing the world standards so that we glorify people in the church for doing more, for resting less, for not having healthy boundaries. And then when people get to a place when they can't produce as much as they used to, they have to choose where they serve more carefully. And that's good and right. But it may not always feel like you're just moving into a different season. If you believe that your value is based on what you produce, it can feel like you're letting God down. If you feel that way, please hear me say, you're not. You're not letting God down. That doesn't mean God doesn't invite you to fully participate in his work, but when your definition of full isn't as much as it used to be, it's still enough for him. You're not letting him down. Romans 8, 31 through 39. It's the passage we used as a call to worship, but extended a little bit. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Decreasing capacity, physical limitations, even coming to the end of your time here, has nothing to do with how much God loves you. He has proven his love in Jesus Christ, his son, and nothing can separate you from that love. So when you move from the time of being the strong one for others into a period of needing others, it's no shame. It's no failure. And it's not that you have less to offer. What you offer is just different now. And the church needs it. We go through these periods throughout our lives as we fight illness or financial struggles and then aging, when we can't offer what we normally give and we're forced to rely on God in new ways. It doesn't feel like grace, does it? Needing people to take care of you, needing God to show up just to do the things you used to think were normal, it doesn't feel like grace. But God's grace is just as with you in those moments. It's a loss. It's a real loss. But it's not a failure. The community of Christ is meant to be a give and a take, a pouring in and a pouring out. It's okay if you're the one getting poured into for a season. Because the psalmist has been so faithful to God, and God has been so faithful to him, when the psalmist was strong, he isn't ashamed to receive from God in this period of relative weakness in his story. There is absolutely grief in this moment. A sense of loss, for sure. But there ought not be any shame. This is a part of his testimony, too. The psalm itself is his testimony that God is faithful in every era and every season of human life. He has been the one others depended on, and now he's depending on God. But every period of his life has been marked by God's grace, God's faithfulness to him. Because God's faithfulness outlasts our strength, our testimonies outlast our days. We're still reading the psalmist's testimony. He's still preaching the goodness of God to generations of believers thousands of years after his days on this earth came to an end. We don't know if he ever knew that would happen. As long as you're alive, you have a calling and a purpose to declare the truth of God's grace to future generations, just like Miss Kelly talked about. We still have the job to tell people what a big deal God is, especially to the next generation, which is where the psalmist turns in verses 17 through 24. His prayer is that his time on earth doesn't close, that God's faithfulness in this life continues until he fulfills that purpose. Look at verse 18. So even to old age and gray hairs, Oh God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. We are all inheritors of an ancient faith from previous generations, and we're bequeathers of that same faith to the next generation. It's our duty and it's our high calling to receive and apply God's grace to our lives in each generation and then translate it for the next. We hold fast to our eternal truths and we apply them to new contexts and situations. The Apostle Paul doesn't talk much about how to reflect our Christianity when we drive in Memphis. But there are certainly applications there. Apostle Peter never said anything about how much is healthy and reasonable to use your cell phone in a day. Each generation must receive these ancient truths of our faith and translate them into modern applications. And each generation passes on those translated truths to the next generation. We're here for a moment. We only get so much time to do that job because our role in this grand story is rather short. Psalm 90:12 says, "So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom." Our days are numbered. And that truth can either propel us into action or keep us focused and frozen on fear that we'll lose the abilities we value. There isn't a single person in this church that we don't need to do the work of translating gospel truth into modern action. Not a single one. And the longer your story reaches into the past, the more you've seen history repeat itself and cycle around, the more powerful your testimony is and the more we need it. Our time on this earth varies widely in length. Some don't make it into adulthood. Others keep going for more than a century. Death is an enemy to God's people. And it's already been defeated through Jesus Christ. There will come a day when death is no more, where pain is in the past. There will come a day where there are no goodbyes. Until then, life is abundant and eternal for those who belong to Jesus Christ in the here and now. But that doesn't make death any less a tragedy. It makes it temporary, but still tragic. As long as we're here, whether for a day or for a century, we have a holy calling to fulfill. Those of us who live long owe it to the next generation to continue our work until God calls us home. Our job is to proclaim to the next generation the faithfulness of God that we have received, that our lives have tested, and that we have found to be strong enough to carry us. It's our job to remind the next generation of where our help comes from. It comes from the Lord. Although our time to complete that work is short, it doesn't end when we face our weaker years or reduced capacity. It's then that the next generation gets to see faith as mature believers face uncertainty of passing from this life into the next. It's then that they get to see the hope of saints as they look ahead to an eternity in the presence of God who has kept them during their time here. Because God's faithfulness outlasts our strength, our testimonies outlast our days. Those who proclaim God's faithfulness during their lifetimes keep proclaiming it long after their time on earth is done. By telling younger generations about God's past faithfulness. Rarely is there a day that I work here that I don't get to hear about a faithful Woodland member of a past generation who left a legacy of faith during their lifetime, even now that they rest in the arms of God. What a beautiful thing to be true. God has been faithful to us in every generation. And our testimony to that faithfulness, to God's nearness and grace in our lives, keeps on going, even after our time on this earth is done. Death is a tragedy, and it will come to an end. But the lives and testimonies of the saints will reverberate into eternity. They will not end. Let us pray.
Thank you for listening to this message from Woodland Presbyterian Church, maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. If you would like to learn more about our congregation, please visit us at woodlandpres.org. God bless you today.